Thank you for listening to the Drive Podcast. I am your host, DJ Quest One. And also, thank you for listening to the last episode, episode 4, season 8. I'm amazed, guys, season 8. I never thought I would have the podcast for this long, but hey, it all started with 2018, just driving from work to my house back, and I said, why not do it? That's how this podcast came to life. I was pretty much driving and was just, you know, talking, and then it became to where when COVID hit, I was still doing it, but not as much right before COVID. And then I started interviewing people, and then it got bigger. And then I started doing videos, and then I still did it. And then here I am. You're like, and then. But no, I kept keeping it alive. And guess what? Shay T will be back. We are already having a meeting. We are going to be doing another podcast together. And you will see some videos of it. The last episode, I talked about the NFL being rigged, and I talked about also a little bit of what else did I talk about? I talked about the NFL, and then I talked about P. Diddy. Fluffy Fluff. Yeah, that guy. He's bad news. Everyone that he's been around with, just takes him down. I don't have anyone. He doesn't have anyone to lean on. He has a lot of money though. He just got on social media and said he has a lot of money with that. Well, go buy your friends then if you have a lot of money. Real friends, the people that you didn't know, probably maybe the ones in high school, you could probably give them money. Even, you know who else? Even Keefe D, the one that was the uncle of Orlando Anderson, the one that supposedly, allegedly killed Tupac. He said Puffy owed him money. He goes, man, everything you touch turns into shit. And I thought about it. I was like, this is a man, you know, that he was a drug dealer back in his days, 90s, you know, 2000s, until he got caught. And then he ended up becoming state evidence, whatever it was. But he said that he knew Puffy, and they would bodyguard the Crips. The Crips would bodyguard Puffy and Big back in the day. And he would, like, you know, give him free concert tickets. But there was a point where he said that he paid him $1 million to kill Tupac. So that, I mean, Keefe's talking about that, and he's in jail. He's going to do whatever it takes to get this fool locked up. And I do believe in karma. So if Puffy did have something to do with Tupac getting killed, goodbye. See ya. And wouldn't want to be ya. Anyways, I want to talk about hip-hop turning 50. I completely forgot about, like, I was celebrating it on my TikTok. In case you guys are on TikTok, I am under DJ Questions 1. It's called Hip-Hop History 101 is my channel. And I have over, I want to say I have over almost 10,000 followers. I'm trying to get there. I'm like at 9,100 and something. But I put all kinds of content on there. I put, like, you know, MCs. I put old videos. I put footage of graffiti. I put DJs, B-boys. And 2024, I'm bringing you more. That's going to be my slogan. 2024, I'm bringing you more. And, to, you know, when it was 2020, it was 2020 vision. You know, try to stay focused, which I did. You know, I did. What hip-hop means to me is, so I grew up with oldies. My dad, that's all he would listen to is oldies, you know, like Four Tops, Temptations, you know, Stevie Wonder, you know, Junior Walker and the All-Stars, and, you know, Marky and the Mysterians and 96 Tears and The Doors, and just on and on, you know, Marvin Gaye, of course. So a lot of Motown, a lot of rhythm and blues, and of course, you know, he loved Chuck Berry. Little Richard, that's how I know about Richie Valens. So I originally grew up with oldies, you know, La Bamba and all that stuff. So the first time I heard rap was my next door neighbor. He had a tape of the Beastie Boys, of License to Ill. And it was interesting because I thought, to me, you know, when I'm growing up, and I always thought that it was just, you know, it was just African, it was just it was just African Americans, blacks, you know, doing it. It wasn't like, you know, white people doing it. And so I was like, oh yeah, these guys are cool. And so my neighbor was black, right? And so I was telling him, like, yeah. He goes, how do they look? And he goes, they're white. I was like, what? They're white? And the first thing I thought, like, white people rap? And he was like, yeah. I was like, oh shit, I didn't know that, you know? So as I got older, you know, like, my dad used to go bowling, and I would go with him, and this guy, the bowling team, the kids, there were some kids there. It was a bowling alley off Goliad. It's still there in San Antonio. It's still there. Imagine, I'm a little kid, right? Imagine this. I'm a little kid, and I'm going to this bowling alley with my dad. I must have been about maybe 8 or 9 at the time. I would just sit there, and he would give me a bunch of quarters and go play video games. I go play video games. I come back, sit down. And this kid, he's probably in middle school at the time. He's like, you like rap? And I started telling him, here's a little story I like to tell about three bad brothers. Started way back, you know, the, and I was like, never heard of them. And he's like, oh man, they're dope. So he let me borrow the tape. I took it home. I copied it. So for y'all that have been living, that don't know what it was back then, without no phone, without, you know, YouTube, you either went on the TV. If you had MTV, you could watch what was on music, or you turned the radio on. That was the only options. There was no, or you go to a restaurant and put something in a jukebox with quarters or a dollar. There was no iTunes, there was no Spotify, there was no Amazon Music, there was none of that. It was just, again, there was no YouTube Music. It was just, You go home, or you can record it on, you could borrow someone's tape. So back then you would get a cassette, and you had a two deck boombox or whatever stereo you had. You get the blank one, and you would get the original copy, and you would copy it. Then you give it back. So I used to do that. So by the time I figured out how to dub tapes or how to copy them, I was doing it ever since. And my cousin lived in Houston at the time. This is like some in the 90s, but let me go back to the story. So he showed me, rewind. He showed me a tape of DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. And it had like the cover, you know, like he showed it to me, and he was like, this is the DJ. He was trying to break down hip hop to me, because all I knew was rap. Okay, so the Beastie Boys was from my friend Boogie. I didn't copy that one. I copied the DJ. So he let me borrow the DJ. Correction. He let me borrow the DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince. Y'all know him as Will Smith. And I copied it, and then it busted because I played it too much. And those were the days. I mean, if your tape busted, you could like fix it with like Scotch tape. Like you had to like have like a little razor or something. See, I didn't figure that out until I was in my teens. But anyways, this is the very first song on that cassette. He's the rapper, I'm the DJ. And so I was like, wow, you know. So I would get more into it, and so I started buying more tapes. Like, I wanted, back in the day, 1988, people were bumping NWA, Strata Compton, that was really big, and I wanted it. So I told my sister, at the time, we used to go to the flea market to go sell back in the day, to go hustle, and shit, I still do that, man. Come on, man. Anyways, on a different level, my mom and dad's business, you know, at the time. And you could get like bootleg tapes. And so I told my sister, can you go get me NWA? She brought me back Public Enemy. Takes a Whole Nation. I'm like, wow. So like I was very intrigued. I was like, I want more and more. So as I got older, I started buying more tapes. And back then, like, we had like MTV, and we had BET, but sometimes my dad didn't pay the cable bill, they cut it off. And, you know, times were hard, but we would have, so I would always, after school, I would go and watch Yo MTV Raps, or I would watch the Rap Basement, you know, I would watch that, you know, Rap City, not the Basement, Rap City, and That's how I knew all the people, you know, people doing music. You had West Coast, you had East Coast, and finally in 1991 you had Ghetto Boys. They did My Mom's Playing Tricks on Me, and it was all over the it was big time. See, but at the time it was gangbang was hard, you know, it was really bad in San Antonio. And that was right after that movie Colors came out. And you had, like, you know, you had N.W.A., you had Above the Law, you had Eazy-E, you had, like, Ice-T, you had Compton's Most Wanted, and you had Spice One, and you had, of course, DJ Quick, MC8. Like, you have all these guys, Cypress Hill. Like, they're all, like, you know, gangster mentality. And the South really supported the West Coast a lot. But at the time, I also loved Tribe Called Quest. That's how I got my name through them. Tribe Called Quest was one of my favorite rap groups, Gangstar. So I looked at all varieties of rap, right? And then it wasn't until later on that I knew the four elements that the people call it hip-hop. Hip-hop is just an element of rap. So people got to understand that hip-hop is not just rap. It's breaking, DJing, and graffiti. So it's four elements. Let's get late. I'm gonna tell y'all again, hip hop is rap, DJing, graffiti, and breaking, b-boying, you know? And so I would watch that movie, Beat Street, and I was like, yo, that's how New York is. I would get all excited. I was like, man, I wanna go to New York. So while everyone was really into gangster rap, of course, Kid Frost, can't forget about Kid Frost, Lighter Shade of Brown, Brownside. And shout out to DJ Tony A. He produced High C, who is an extension family of DJ Quick, Shabby Glue, who else? Sugar Free, and there's like a whole AMG. So all those guys, they kicked it with each other, and I still love gangster rap, but I was more with like conscious rap. And then I started hearing about Common. Then I started hearing about Jay Dilla. So it was like all this tension. So like I still gravitated towards Dr. Dre. Of course, he has dope beats. I love it all. But I was more into like the scratch forms. That, you know, like, so when I heard DJ Jazzy Jeff, Fresh Prince, and there's a song called I'm the DJ, and he's like ripping it. You know, he's like DJing like and all that. And I'm just like, wow, I'm like amazed at what he's doing. And I was just curious, like, what do you do to scratch? So I did this. I grabbed, so my mom had a record player, and I like pressed down on the, so there's a needle, right? If you're spinning vinyl, the needle is very fragile, right? That's what plays the music, that goes the sound through the vinyl, right? Once it touches it, I didn't know at the time. I was like trying to scratch it, and like I busted the needle because I was pressing it, and you're not supposed to press it. And I never really saw DJ scratch back then. You know, you saw it was rare. You would just see videos of people that you didn't see, like DMC battles and stuff. But anyways, so I started doing more research, and I just became a fan. So it to me, and then I started making music. I started making beats. I started rapping. I used to freestyle when I was a kid, and until now. And so I've been fortunate to love the art of it, the purest of it. And, you know, forget the bling bling, you know, flashy rings, a lot of gold, a lot of platinum, you know, fancy cars. Like, I know. Do you see Eminem dressed like that? How about Ice Cube? Like, you don't see them. How about Too Short with a lot of gold? Too Short used to have a bad bit fat ass gold chain. So did Ice Cube. But later on down the line, they was chilling. Now they don't even have to do that. So hip hop's not about money. Hip hop's about the culture, and the people have made billions of dollars off of it. Who had no idea, weren't in the streets. So when they did 50 years, I just felt like a lot of people were left off. They did that Grammy thing. They left a lot of people off. They left. You know, it's like they celebrated it, but also I wanted to talk about what have they done. Like, what have these people that have made millions of dollars, have they helped communities? I know that Big Pun was trying to do something. I know Public Enemy has helped out. Some rappers have helped out, you know, giving back to the community. But some of them haven't. They moved, they left to Miami or LA, whatever, and forgot about their roots, like where they're from. I kind of say that, you know, Trey the Truth helps out a lot here in Houston. You know, he's giving back. He gives backpacks to kids going to school. Like, I don't know if other rappers do it. I'm sure they do. It's not just... And then now you have this... I don't even know what you call it. Auto-tune rap? That's what I'm going to name it, because that's all they use. And mumble rap. Right? So, where is it? Like, it's supposed to evolve. I feel like, okay, T-Pain did it back in 07. I was like, okay, cool. It's something different. But when you keep doing it over and over and over, it's redundant. And it's like, I'm not even interested in listening to it ever again. Only underground shit, because I can relate to that. I mean, you do have Kendrick and J. Cole. You do have some, but you don't. The majority of the stuff on the radio that these A&R reps think that's rap, it's garbage. I'm sorry. It's not good. I can't sit there and you know what? It's an art form and makes people money, but there's no conscience. There's no knowledge behind it. Like, you have these kids rapping about pills and all that. Like, fine, when I was growing up, you had Cypress Hill. They were talking about weed. You had Common talking about how he misses hip-hop. You have Tribe Called Quest talking about electric relaxation. You have Tupac, you know, rapping about Dear Mama with a message on it. You know, even the song The Message by the Furious Five DJ Grandmaster Flash, right? Like, that song even has broken glass everywhere, you know, like. And then you have Nas, you know, like, with his message, like Wu-Tang, you know, Wu-Tang is for the children. Like, you have all these rap, De La Soul, like, all these raps. And then you have Gangstar with the song Moment of Truth. He talks about, like, you know, believe in God and, you know, and watching out for yourself. Like, then you have Rapping Forte talking about I'll Be Around. Like, that song's positive. Like, you have a lot of positive songs. And I feel like there's no positive songs on the radio. Like, that's sad. Like, where are we teaching these kids? That it's okay to pop pills and talk to girls and call them call them a bitch? Like, yeah, you had N.W., you did have Snoop Dogg, you know, all that, saying biatch and all that shit, you know, but he still, like, would rap. Like, he rapped about Little Ghetto Boy. Listen to Little Ghetto Boy. Like, you know, it's talking about growing up in the ghetto, you know, and surviving. And so you also have storytelling. You have Biggie's storytelling, which, you know, you can, like, listen to it and, like, picture it. Like, but I just don't see anything good. And Scarface, I love, listen to Scarface song. Like, I mean, I've never seen a man die. That song's a message about don't go out there and kill someone, otherwise it'll come back to you. It's karma. And so I'm very passionate about it. So the last couple of years, you know, since the auto-tune just kept going on and on, I just kind of give up. Like the Breakfast Club, you have DJ Envy and you have Charlamagne. It used to be Angela Yee, but they are backed up by a big, you know, they're backed up by they were backed up by Revolt, and they someone else took over there. But they have the opportunity to let other kids shine, like Westside Gunn is dope. They're not on the radio, but you have a following. You had Little Brother back then; they weren't on the radio. Like, so you had all these. Happy or not, I don't know what you call it, right? Because it's auto-tune and it's the same beat, 808s, 85 BPMs, 90 tops, with the hot snare, right? The hi-hat, that's right. So I'm stuck there, but I also think that 50 years of hip-hop is awesome. 1973 to 2023. People said it was a fad. People said, I ain't gonna do anything. It ain't gonna do nothing. And look what it has come to. Like, it came out from urban. You know, you also have Big Pun. I love Big Pun. Who, phenomenal. You know, Rakim. Like, he changed rap. KRS. Coogee Rap. Slick Rick. You know, Souls of Mischief. Like, I saw them last year. It was like their 30th anniversary album, the debut that they did. so dope the performance was. I mean, it was amazing. And they're in their 50s. So if I am being a little bit too hard, I want creativity, which I think they're just lazy. Then they're performing with the vocals in the background. That's not performing. For the 7th, 8th time that I said this on this show, if you are gonna rap and people listening, that's and y'all cheering them on, go to a show, and I know people like Drake and J. Cole, they're gonna rap on top of their beat. They're not gonna rap with the vocals on. That's real performing. Look at Ice Cube when I saw him. Look at Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang's gonna have their vocals. I did not like when they did the verses, when it was Ghost versus Ray. They were rapping over their vocals. That really, I was like, what are y'all doing? Put the instrumentals on. They know the words. And I've seen Raekwon and Ghost perform, and they don't have the vocals on it. But if you have your ad-libs, your abs will be like, you know, I'm going over here, you know, and then like you'll have like a background. I'm going over there, and then like I'll have there, and then like every other word will have an ad-lib, which is fine. That way you can be on key. But when you have, you're just rapping on top of your vocals, more laziness. So because I think now everything's so easy, you can just record raps on your phone, you can record raps on your computer, whatever it is, and then when you perform it, you're performing it with vocals on. No, that's not the way to do it. Anyways, this is part one. I was where DJ Jazzy Jeff is, and I'm going into the NWA, and I get NWA. After that, I get DJ Quick going into the 6th grade. This is part one of Hip Hop Turns 50 and what hip hop means to me. Tune into the next episode, y'all, of the adventure you're going to go with Quest when I'm in middle school. This is elementary when I had that NWA, Evil for Sagan, and I had the DJ Quick. Quick is the name. I'm gonna school y'all on some more what happened. Tune in to the next episode. And thank you for listening to the Track Podcast. Peace.